Hare Hare! How wonderful to be here with you all on this wonderful day. It is just wonderful. Let's have a look here. Oh, look. Oh, Govardhan Hill is made of cakes, is it? Cakes. A cake Govardhan Hill. That's a very advanced Govardhan Hill. So what to do now? Well, I could say that sort of, so to speak, the most interesting part of Govardhan Hill is on this side. So and you're on the other side. Oh well. Okay. Well, anyway, that's okay. We can start. We'll start on this side. Why not? So, devotees, we are going on Govardhan Parikrama. How many of you have been on Govardhan Parikrama before? I mean, that Govardhan. Again, put your hands up. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaura Vani Prachari Nira Vishesha Shunya Vadi Pastujani Ajitani Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 I think there's less devotees here tonight than last year. Am I right?
Yes.
Anyway, I think, because you know what the Bhagavatam says, that anyone who neglects to observe Govardhan Puja, the snakes from Govardhan Hill, may come and bite them. But you're here, so it's okay. It's only the ones who are not here. And I was just reading it today, actually, that either the snakes will bite them, or rocks will fall off the hill and land on them and squish them. That's what it says. I read it. So what do you think, snake? No, 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 please. Don't be nasty. Anyway, I'll try and convince him to give everyone a break. So what are we going to do? We're going to start down here. Okay, let's start down here in Puncherry, because Govardhan Hill, some say it's shaped like a peacock. It's kind of something like that. And Puncherry means the tail of the peacock. So this area here is called Puncherry. It's kind of like the southern end. Govardhan Hill doesn't really, it's not really north-south. It's kind of, what would you say? What is it? It's kind of northeast to southwest, kind of across, down but across a bit. So we're going to start at that southern type end, and we're going to start in here at Naval Kund and Apsara Kund. It's a nice part of Govan Dhan Hill. And they say, you've heard of them, right? You've heard of them? They say, them, those ones. They say that when one time Krishna was down here and he became so ecstatic, his body melted and formed the waters of Navalkund. And therefore it's called Navalkund. Naval means ever fresh. And it's kind of like a name or part of a name of Krishna. So they call the kund Navalkund. And next to it is Apsarakund. And Apsarakund, this is referring to when all the different demigods and other universal personalities came following the lifting of the Govardhan Puja, then the lifting of the hill, and then the storm, and then eventually Indra understands he's made a mistake. So after that, they had the big Abhishek for Krishna. And all these different demigods and people like that came. And they all landed in different places. Well, there's a couple more places as we just go up on the front there. But the apsaras from the heavenly planets landed here. And it's quite a nice kund. It's quite nice. It's covered with a certain type of green ganj. When you visit these places, you learn there are different types of green ganj. Did you know that? You probably didn't. You have to go there and see it. There's green ganj, and then there's green ganj. The green ganj at Apsarakund is not so bad. You just push it aside. It's kind of leafy green ganj. How's this for a botany lesson? Kind of leafy green ganj. It's not the thick stuff. And if you push it aside, there's nice water underneath. So that's Apsarakund. And then you come around to a place called Rasastali. Rasastali, I don't know if it's on the map here. Rasastali is where the spring rasa dance begins. What we hear about normally, like in the Bhagavatam, that's the like autumn rasa dance, Sharadiya rasa, the Kartik time, starts in Vrindavan town. But the spring rasa dance begins down here at the southern end of Govardhan Hill from Rasastali. It's quite a nice place. Quite a nice place. And we come around. Now we're heading sort of north, roughly approximately. And let's see, what do we find here? We find, before we come around, you don't seem to have it marked out here, but anyway, that's okay. Down here is the Lota Baba Temple. Lota Baba. Is it here? Oh, where? Somewhere here? Anyway, they say. where is it? Oh, there it is! Look at that! It's slightly out of position, but that's okay. Lota Baba. Let us tell you about Lota Baba. Lota in the local dialect means waiting. So he is waiting Baba. And he's there. He's a cowherd boy. Kind of plump cowherd boy. Prasada specialist. You know, I just heard a story about Srila Prabhupada. Little story, let me tell you. Prabhupada said that in a temple, the treasurer, the one who looks after the money and dispenses it and collects it and checks to see, do we really want to spend on this or that and how much? Prabhupada said, well, so you've got that, that person has to be very tight. Whereas the cook, the head cook, has to be more sort of, you know, easygoing, expansive, and just, yeah, not so restrictive. So Prabhupada said, that Prabhupada said, it is good if the treasurer in the temple is a little thin, and it is good if the cook is a little fat. Prabhupada said that. All right. Okay, Lutababa, he's kind of like that. And he's down here, he's sort of, actually, he's over here more or less. And Lota Baba, waiting Baba, when Krishna was leaving Vrindavan, on the last day, he went to say goodbye to everyone. So he went all around saying goodbye, and he came down here to say goodbye to Lota Baba. And he told him, I'm going to Mathura. And I'll be back tomorrow, Krishna said. And Lota Baba said, well, I have a feeling you're not coming, not returning. And Krishna said, no, I'm coming back. I'll be back tomorrow. If not tomorrow, at least the day after. And Lota Baba said, well, you know, so I just got this feeling that you're not coming back. And Krishna told him, all right, listen, you just wait here, right here. Just wait here, don't move, and you'll see, I'll be back. Just wait until I come. And Lota Baba said, right, that's it, I'm waiting here. So he did. Actually, in Radharanath, we had a little drama about this, illustrating this earlier today. So there's Lota Baba waiting. And the next day, Krishna didn't come back. And the day after, Krishna didn't come back. But Lota Baba was just waiting. And then the day after that, Krishna didn't come back. And even after 1 week, Krishna didn't come back. And Lota Baba's parents, they were really panicking. You can't just stay here for days. You've got to come home. But Lota Baba said, no. Krishna told me to wait. I'm waiting. And he waited for a month. And then 3 months. But Krishna had not come back. But Lota Baba was just waiting. And then 6 months, would you believe it? And then 1 year. But Krishna had not come back. Lota Baba's parents had just given up hope. Then 2 years, then 3 years, then 5 years. Krishna had not come back, but Lota Baba was still waiting. And then 10 years and 20 years and 50 years, and Krishna had not come back, but Lota Baba was just waiting. in the same spot 50 years. And finally, Krishna returned 4,500 years later as Lord Chaitanya. But Lotapapa was still waiting. He had turned into a deity. And Krishna came and embraced Lotapapa in his deity form and told him, and he said, "I told you I would come back." So you can always depend on Krishna, but he sometimes gets a little playful. So anyway, yeah, let's come around now. And as we go up, well, you know what? I'll tell you a very interesting practical thing. That as you come from Poncharu and you start coming up till you reach Surabhi Kund, which is actually more or less around here, there up on the hill, you tend to get what they call blue cows. Nilgai, blue cows means they are deer. The males are big, you know, they're like as big as horses. They're sort of like, you know, the South African kudus, that sort of thing. You know what a kudu is? Do you prat Afrikaans? So yeah, up on the hill you get these big animals. They're deer up on the hill, because most people don't go on the hill, and therefore they're kind of, it's peaceful up here. So yeah, this area from Poncharu coming up to around Surabhi Kund, yeah, even a little further, a very good place for seeing blue cows. So we come up. You know what we're trying to do tonight? We are trying to do the entire Govardhan Parikrama. What time should we finish? We'll have Govardhan Parikrama night. Sometimes the devotees in the summer, they go on parikrama through the night because it's too hot during the day. So what, 11 o'clock, is that okay? 12? We'll finish before 12. All right. Normally it's 6 hours, but we'll do it a little more quickly. That's okay, isn't it? Yeah, sure. Right, so there we were, coming up. And then you get, well, first you get, as you're coming along, you get Indra Kund. This is where Lord Indra landed when he came in for the Abhishek, the bathing of Krishna, after the whole Govardhan, the lifting of the hill and all those sort of dramatic things. When Krishna put the hill back down, Indra realized he made a mistake. Because Indra thought, this Krishna, this little boy Krishna, is 7 years old. And all the adults, they take him so seriously. If he says anything, they just accept, yes, right. But he's just a little boy. How can you listen to a little boy? Why they take him so seriously? So Indra wanted to teach Krishna a lesson and to teach the Vrijvasis a lesson. Don't take this boy so seriously because he's just some little boy. He's not that Krishna, you know, the big one from up. From up. Well, he's just some local boy. But these villagers are so bewildered, they think he's really special. So that then when Krishna lifted the hill and the storm was there, but the water was just evaporating as soon as it touched the ground, so there was no flooding at all, nothing. And Indra came and saw after 1 week. Then Indra realized, uh-oh, mistake. He is that one, the one from up. I was in Mauritius a while ago. I met a young man. I asked him, what's your name? He said, Krishna. I said, really? I've been looking for you for years. We found out he wasn't that one. He was just this one. Okay. So, right. Indra landed there, and Indra Kund, unfortunately, is not in good shape. But you go a little past, and you come to Surabhi Kund. It's kind of just down around here somewhere. And Surabhi Kund is very nice. It used to be just a hole in the ground, just sort of dirt sides, but now someone has put stairs around, and you know, it's actually very beautiful. Surabhi Kund, nice place to have a dip after a parikrama on a hot day. So that's Surabhi Kund, and you go a little further and you come to, it's actually off the track, you got to know where it is. It's almost like a secret place, Airavata Kund, where the Airavata, the elephant of Lord Indra, landed. He has four tusks, yeah. He landed there, and there's a nice kund there, basically. It's quite a nice kund. So then you come up a bit further, let's see, oh yeah, and out, you have to go out by the road if you want to see it, it's a couple of 100 meters further out, is Rudra Kund. It's also quite a nice kund. Then you carry along, you come to Jatipur, which is where the followers of Vallabhacharya, they have their base around Govardhan Hill. Followers of Vallabhacharya, Pusti Marg, they're called. They're generally Gujaratis. And they only speak Gujarati. Do you speak Gujarati? Gujarati? Any Gujaratis here? Gujaratis. Gujarati. Kemchon. Chalya Kare. Okay. So that's Jatipur. There's a lot of Gujaratis there. They're all Gujaratis, actually. And there is what they call Mukhavinda. Muk means mouth, and Aravinda basically means something like lotus, roughly. So the lotus mouth of Govardhan Hill, this is the idea. And there's bathing going on here at Jatipur. There's bathing going on like, well, not exactly 24 hours a day, but it's maybe more than 12 hours a day. And people coming bathing the hill with milk. And there's a runoff. You know, unfortunately, they don't collect the milk as prasad. They let it run off down a drain for about a couple of hundred meters down the road. And it just sort of fizzles out there. And once we came, and you know, this milk, it goes off in the hot weather, so you smell it. And once we were coming along, and one pig, one of the local bridge busing pigs, went in to get the milk, and he got into it. He sort of made a pig of himself. And he just drank so much milk. So much, you know, like maybe 100 liters. And his body expanded, he got stuck. Oh my God, they had to get him out. Whew, he was screaming, poor pig. So, okay, so here then, Jatipur, up on top of the hill there is the old temple of Gopal, established by Mother Vendrapuri long time before Lord Chaitanya's time. And that deity of Gopal, though, is now in a place called Nathdwara. You know Nathdwara? Nathdwara. It's in Rajasthan, but it's just full of Gujaratis. And they have the deity there. They call him Srinathji. They call the deity Srinathji. And this is interesting. Listen to this. They change Srinathji's clothes 8 times a day. And he only wears a set of clothes once. Ho Gaya, what do you think of that? That's pretty enthusiastic, isn't it? So they got these people sewing outfits like mad. Yeah, because they changed clothes 8 times a day. And after he's worn the clothes once for, you know, a few hours, that's it. Goodbye. Yeah, but anyway, that's Nathdwara. But the old temple, if you look up, there's 2 temples. One's white, it's a current temple, and then there's the old broken down one that's like several hundred years old. The old bricks, handmade little bricks. It's just in ruins. So that's Jatipur. And then we come along, let's see, we come along from Jatipur, and we come along from Jatipur, and you've got to watch out for the snakes. I've seen along by Sarabi Kund a snake track, winding snake track, yeah, a few times. And we asked, you know, we had in Radharana, we had some big snakes, not that big, but maybe 2 or 3 times bigger than this. And we had a conversation with one of them, yeah. I don't know if I'm capable of doing it here, but we asked the snake, what are you going to do about the people who haven't come, the devotees who haven't come? And the snake, you know what he said? He said, I am the snake of Lord Shiva, and I am going to bite all the devotees who haven't come for Govardhan Puja. So just tell them, if you know anyone who's not here, just tell them to watch out. Just seriously watch out. But we come along, okay, we were in We were in Jatipur, we come along, and the next stop, really, after Jatipur, the next stop is you enter Govardhan town. It's actually the back side of Govardhan town. You pass by a few places. Going maybe a kilometer out is Gulalkund. That's where Radha and Krishna, they were sitting together, and the gopis tied their clothes together like when they get married. And they got up and they found, wow, we're tied together. And then the gopis threw colored dyes on them. So they have a big festival there every year for that. Gulalkund and Vilachukund, where Krishna sucked the toes of the gopis in the form of a fish in the kund, and stole all their toe rings. Yeah, you know, when you've got toe rings, you've got to be careful. Some security measures are needed. So we come through go to the back of Govardhan town, and anyway, we come through, and then we walk a while. There's not so much on this side of the hill, like the other side, there's much more. But the next place, really like significant place we come to, and it's actually up about here, is Uddhavakund. Uddhavakund is quite a nice place, and there's very wonderful pastime there. This is where, well, Uddhava took the messages from Krishna to different bridge busings, and he took the messages for the gopis to a place right near Nandagram. The place is called now Uddhava Kyari. And it used to be in the bush. Whew. It was really hard to get to, but now they've opened it up. So, at Uddhava Kyari, Uddhava gave the messages of Krishna to the gopis. And this is where he saw Radharani go into madness and start talking to a bumblebee. You heard about that? That's in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, quite elaborately described. So Uddhava, when he saw that, he was just so astonished. He'd never seen such love before at all. And as he was returning to Mathura, when you go from Nandagram is, where's Nandagram? It's kind of, what would you say, further out that way. Yeah, it's further out that way. So he was coming along from Nandagram, and he passed by this kund. And as he's passing by, he was just thinking how amazing these gopis are. I've never seen any devotees even a little like them. And this is where he prayed, I would like to take birth in Vrindavan. He is Krishna's prime minister outside of the devotees like the gopis. Outside of them, he's one of the next highest, most elevated. So as he passed by Uddhavakund, he was thinking, I want to take birth here. And he was thinking, You know, I should just take some lowly berth because I'm very insignificant. You know this term VIP? Very important person. We apply it, very insignificant person. He's a real VIP. So he was praying like that. I should take some lowly birth. Let me take birth as grass. Because then the gopis may walk on me. And some of the dust from their feet may go on my head. And even if they don't walk on me, but if they walk, you know, maybe a little distance away, then maybe some of the dust will be blown over and will land on my head. So let me take birth here as grass or little shrubs. And so they say that here at Udvikund, all the grass is Udva. Then, after Krishna left this world, the queens, his queens, 16,108 wives, they're feeling so much separation from Krishna, it was just intolerable. But then one of the queens, Kalindi, she said, wait, don't you remember where Krishna left Vrindavan? The gopis were feeling so much separation, and Uddhava came and spoke to them about Krishna, and then they felt pacified. So let us find Uddhava. Let us find Uddhava, and he'll pacify us also. But then the other gopis said, listen, Uddhava has left this world also. So how, you know, we can't find Uddhava. But Kalindi reminded them, don't you know, he has taken birth by Uddhava Kund as grass. So let us go there and have a big kirtan, and maybe he'll come out of the grass. So sure enough, they went there. Actually, they went with Vajranab. Vajranab is the great-grandson of Lord Krishna, son of Aniruddha, who is the son of Pradyumna, who is the main son of Lord Krishna. So Vajranab. Vajra means thunderbolt, and Nab. You know what Nab means? How's your Hindi? So. Nab means navel, like tummy button. He has a navel like a thunderbolt. Anyway, you think about that. So they went with him. At the time, Maharaj Parikshit was the emperor of the world, and Vajranab was ruling the Mathura area, Mathura Vrindavan, Vrajnapura. So he went with them. They went to Udvikund, they had big kirtan, and sure enough, Uddhava came out of the grass. And Uddhava took the queens across, we'll go there in a few minutes, across to the other side to Kusum Sarova. And they sat down there for 1 month, 24 hours a day. Simply, he just recited the pastimes of Krishna to them. They didn't sleep, they didn't eat, they didn't feel they needed to or wanted to. They were just drinking the topics of Krishna. And then gradually, over that 1 month, all the queens one by one went back to Goloka Vrindavan. And after they'd all gone after 1 month, Uddhava came back and just entered back into the grass at Uddhava Kund, and he's still there. You could visit him. So you go on from there, and you come to, would you believe, Radha Kund and Shama Kund. Particularly Radha Kund is the most sacred place in the universe. Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that one time Radha and Krishna, they were associating there, they were in such ecstasy, their bodies melted. And Radharani's body became the waters of Radha Kund. And Krishna's body became the waters of Shama Kund. I know there are different versions, there are different descriptions for the appearance of Radha Kund and Shama Kund, but that's one from Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur, who is extremely authoritative. So yes, Radha Kund, Shama Kund, they are the liquid forms of Radha and Krishna, their bodies. Are you going to put on a drama? No. They did earlier. They were really good. Academy Award material. So, therefore, you know, if you want to bathe in Radha Kund and Shama Kund, you've got to be really careful, because they are the liquid forms of Radha and Krishna. And you know, to touch the body of the deity, to touch the body of the Lord, you know, according to our standards, you have to have second initiation, isn't it? Yeah. You can't just zip onto the altar and just, you know, change the clothes just if you feel you want to. You need second initiation in order to touch the body of the Lord. Of course, we know there are many uninitiated devotees or first initiated. They have deities at home and they do some puja and dress them. It is not really, you know, it's not really the best. Don't mind me saying it. Actually, you're meant to have second initiation. And if you're not initiated or you're first initiated, not that it's not serious what you're doing, but it's sort of, you could say, something like practicing, getting ready for something more serious, which is like, you know, the real deity worship according to the Panchatarikri system from Narada Muni. So therefore, you know, we shouldn't just go bathing in Radha Kund, Shama Kund, because they are so sacred. At least you should get permission from your spiritual master before bathing, at least. And frankly, some will tell you no. Wait till you're second initiated, because you're touching the bodies of Radha and Krishna. And, you know, Radha and Krishna, they struggle to meet often. There are many obstacles to their meeting. Like, one obstacle is named Jatila. Oh, just say it. Yeah. It's like that. How do you know? Yeah. Jatila is a cranky old. Like, she's like the original mother-in-law. You know what I mean? Sometimes in some countries I mention. mention that, and they just look at me like, what do you mean? Because mother-in-laws or mothers-in-law don't always have bad reputations. But in the Western society, generally mothers-in-law have really bad reputations, I'm afraid. Excuse me if any of you are mothers-in-law, but it's just a fact. It's a fact that they have reputations. Anyway, look, I didn't say that, all right. If anyone asks me if I said it, I'll deny it. So one time, actually Srila Chakravarti Thakur, he talks about, well, he sort of presents it's like a discussion, like an interview even, with Srimati Radharani. And he says, wouldn't it be better if you and Krishna were just married? And then you can just be together all the time. And no one can say anything at all. In fact, if you're not together, then people may criticize. So wouldn't it be better if you just got married? And Radharani thought about it momentarily and said, well, I don't know. She said, I think it would be boring. I think it would just be boring. And she says, I would sit there and look at Krishna and I would say, I love you. And he would look at me and say, I love you too. And I would say, I love you very much. And he would say, I love you very much too. And I would say, I love you very, very much. And he would say, I love you very, very much too. And it would just be boring. I think it, Radharani said, I think it's better the way it is now, that sometimes it's so hard to meet. And we get into such anxiety. Will we meet? How can we meet? And what to do? And then maybe we meet, but then we have to separate because some sort of negatively minded person comes along. So she said, I think it's better like that because it's more exciting. It's not boring. It's really exciting. And she said, our relationship is very special. She said, it is something like a very good chutney. Now, you're all Bharatiya. You know what I mean. You know what Prabhupada's definition of a good chutney, a good one, is? It's so hot, you can hardly eat it. But it's so sweet, you can't resist it. This is a good chutney, according to Srila Prabhupada. So Radharani said, our relationship is like a very good chutney. It's so hot, you know, it's so difficult. We don't know what to do sometimes. But it's so sweet, so nectarian, we just have to carry on. We can't stop. So when I explain this to devotees in other parts of the world, I tell them that in Chatsworth, where I'm from, I'm only the five. That's something serious, all right. There, they have a chutney down in Unit 2. Unit 2, special part of Chats. They have a chutney. It is red chilies. Oh, Gaya. but not quite book I have. It is red chilies mixed with green chilies. Holy ball. With a little salt and some sugar. And you know what they call that? You know what they call that? I was told many years ago, this is a very traditional chance recipe. It is called mother-in-law's revenge. Haven't you heard of that? You're from Phoenix. You're like foreigners. All right. Okay. Some of them say it's called mother-in-law's tongue. Very hot and sharp. Okay, so look, we're around on this side. Where are we now? Right, good Shankun, so we come along, and then there is Shankutia and Ratnakund. This is where Krishna comes and he Radharani puts her feet in the water of the kund, and Krishna massages her lotus feet. And this is where, what's his name? Who stole the jewel? Anyway, one of the demons. I should remember, shouldn't I? Of course I should. The one who stole the jewel from Kuvera? Shankachuna. This is where Shankachuna tried to kidnap Radharani and the gopis, but Krishna killed him just by Shankutia Ratnakund. Then there's Gwalpolka. Gwal means cowherd boys. Polka is kind of a synonym for kund. It's more Bengali, actually. But anyway, they also use it here. So Gwalpolka, this is where we had a drama. We did an impromptu drama. Is Krishna Kripa here? We'll save you. But this is where Madhurangal came, where he was walking. After he had done Surya Puja for Jatira and Radharani and had been paid in laddus, and he had a whole sack of laddus, and Balaram and some of the cowherd boys came and said, "Oh, what have you got? What have you got in that sort of sack thing?" And Madhu Mangal said, "Nothing." And they said, "Come on, this is not nothing. What is it? It must be prasadam. It must be food." And Madhu Mangal said, "It is not food. It is prasadam from the sun god. You wouldn't understand because you're just Vaishyas. I'm a Brahmin. I know about these things." So Balaram and the cowboy said, "Come on, give us some." And Madhu Mangal said, "No." And they grabbed his sack of laddus and distributed them. And Madhu Mangal cried and cried, so they gave half back to him. That happened at Gwalpolka. It's also a nice place, a little out of the way. Then we come along Gwalpolka, what do we come along? We come along to where Hanuman came to lift up Govardhan Hill, to take it, to put it in the sea, to form the bridge to Lanka. Yes, this is described in Mahavaraha Purana. So it's very authoritative. So Hanuman came. He was just about to lift Govardhan Hill and take it to the south. when a voice came and said, the bridge is finished. So he left Govardhan Hill. But Govardhan was very disappointed because he wanted to serve his Lord. And he wanted his Lord to walk on him to cross over to Lanka. But he missed out. So when Lord Ram returned, you know, Diwali yesterday, right? The return of Ram. He stopped at Govardhan Hill on the way. And he spoke to Govardhan and said, don't worry. The next time I come, I will lift you up myself. And every day I'll walk on you. Not just, you know, one way across to Lanka. Every day. And Govardhan was happy. And sure enough, when Krishna came in his original form as Krishna, that's what he did. So that happened sort of around here, just as we're approaching Manasi Ganga, the Ganges which came from Krishna's mind. And time is moving on, so let's not get into things too much here. But this is where Krishna, when Krishna killed Vatsasura, who was a demon, but who had assumed the form of a calf, Krishna came to boast to the gopis. Here, where now Manasi Ganga is, he came to boast that, just see, I am cool. I am a cool cat. I killed a demon. And Radharani said, yeah, we heard. You killed a baby cow. And Krishna said, no, not a baby cow, he's a demon. He just assumed that form. And Radharani said, it doesn't matter, he was a baby cow, you killed a baby cow, get out. We don't even touch our shadows. How's that? That's pretty strict, isn't it? Don't even touch our shadows. And Krishna asked, how can I become free from these reactions? And they said, you have to bathe in the Ganges. But the Ganges is quite some distance to the north. And Krishna didn't want to leave Vrindavan. So Krishna said, I will manifest the Ganges here. So from his mind, he manifested the Ganges. And Radharani and the gopis said, all right, that was clever. But how do we know it's the Ganges? And Krishna called out, Gangamai, Gangamai. And look, there she is. Ganga Devi came out of Manasi Ganga riding on her. They call them Vahan. Vahan means the characteristic carrier of the particular, you know, higher personalities. Vishnu has Garuda the bird. Lord Brahma has a swan. Shiva has Nandi the bull. Ganga Devi has, it's like a crocodile. So this lady came out of Manasi Ganga sitting on a crocodile when Krishna called out. And you don't see a lot of ladies riding on crocodiles. So they accepted, must be the Ganges. And it used to flow all the way down to Govindakund. So, 10 minutes? Hour? 5 hours? So, okay, let's move on from Manasi Ganga. We're sort of abbreviating things a little bit. And what now? Oh yeah, well there's Dandivantala Kund, where the tax was nullified. Krishna stopped the gopis and tried to tax them for crossing Govardhan Hill, but they couldn't pay. said Nandi Mukhi, who is the sister of Madhu Mangal, came and said, listen, I guarantee they will come back here to meet you tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Just come and they'll pay the tax. So next day the gopis came at 10 o'clock and Krishna and the cowherd boys came at 11 and they're in a real boyish mood, you know, like real tough guys. Like you, yeah. Are you a tough guy? How old are you? 7? 10! That's the same age as the cowherd boys. Yeah. Is he a tough guy? Oh, okay. So they came and they're just laughing and joking. We got these girls. These stupid girls. Ha ha ha. And we'll get the tax from them. But the gopis were hiding behind the trees and they jumped out and tied the cowherd boys and Krishna to the trees by their seekers. It was one of the occupational hazards of having a long seeker. And then they beat up Krishna and the cowherd boys. Seriously. Until they were crying for mercy. And the gopi said, all right, we'll stop beating you up, but let us off that tax. Sure, no problem, don't worry about it. So therefore it's called Dharani Vartan Kund, means the Kund where the tax was nullified. And we go on from there, we go through Anior village. You know that Anior pastime, right? They offered all the food they were going to offer to Indra, they offered to Govardhan. Govardhan manifested a gigantic form sort of hovering above the hill. And he ate everything in 1 second and called out. What did he call out? What did he call out?
Anior!
You wouldn't get any more. Anior! Got to sleep. And you already ate too much. So they brought all the rest of the food that was at home, but he ate that also in a couple of seconds. And called out Anior again. But they had no more. And they're really in anxiety. We gave up the Indra Puja to do Govardhan Puja. And now it looks like Govardhan is not happy with us. We are failures. But then Balaram took one tulsi leaf and climbed up the hill and gave it to that gigantic form who ate it, and he was fully satisfied. So that happened where the current day town of Anior is. You know, there's a town there, and the name is Anior, means more food. That's what it means. There's many towns, villages, around Vraj Mandala, and they still have names from 5,000 years ago which are indicating some pastime of Krishna. There's one little village down from Nandagram. It's called Bijvari. Bijvari means like a thunderbolt, like a bolt of lightning. Where Krishna left Vrindavan from Nandagram and then went down all the way to Mathura. But in this place, Bijvari, he stopped. Or rather, the gopis stopped him. And they appealed to him, please don't go, please don't go. But Krishna said, I have to go. And he started moving on. And the gopis drop to the ground just like lightning bolts fall from the sky. And Bhakti Ratnakara describes how when the residents saw them fall, then they understood how lightning bolts fall to the ground. So to this day, the village is called Beech Mountain, like a thunderbolt, or like a bolt of lightning. So yes, passed under your village, at the end of Sankarshan Kund, coming further down is Doka Dauji Temple. Doka, well, Dauji is Balaram, the older brother. Dauji means the older brother. Doka, in the local dialect, Doka means watching, like looking. Deko, Dekiye means to look. So in the local dialect, you say Doka means looking. The older brother who's watching. And Lord Balaram was sitting on top of the hill there, and Krishna started his spring rasa dance and came out in front of the hill on this side that Balaram saw. And he became just transfixed, and he turned into a blackish color. So absorbed in Krishna, he changed color to the same color as Krishna. And his crown fell off. In Sanskrit, crown is mukut, in Hindi too. His mukut fell off his head, came rolling down the hill, landed on a rock, and the rock melted. And you can still see in that rock the shape of Balaram's crown imprinted in the rock. And that's called the Mukut Shila. And above it on the hill is that, the temple of Doka Dauji. When we come down, oh, actually, we missed Govinda Kund. Doka Dauji is after Govinda Kund. Govinda Kund is where, after the Govinda Leela, after the lifting of the hill, the great Abhishek was done for Krishna. And all the Charanamrita formed Govinda Kund. And then we come down and we return to Punchari. Here is the Narsingadev temple where Lord Narsingadev is guarding, protecting the devotees who are on parikrama. So we finish our parikrama here. Hare Krishna.